Okay, everybody, let's go ahead and get started. So if you need to mute the call for any reason, you can press star 6, and then to unmute is star 7. So I'd like to thank everybody for joining me tonight for Sugar Blues class. And let's start off by talking a little bit about what sugar is. Now, you know, most people think about sugar like table sugar, refined white sugar, but sugar is actually in a lot of different things. So we have things like high fructose corn syrup that you find in sodas and lots of other products. And then there are natural sugars like honey and maple syrup. And then there's sugar even in the fruit that we eat, which is good for you. So sugar is really in everything, though, that we eat nowadays. You have sugar in breakfast cereals, donuts, muffins, even yogurt, frozen lunches, deli meats, desserts, cookies, cakes, and all of that. And believe it or not, the average American actually consumes 20 teaspoons of sugar a day. So we get a lot of sugar in our diet that we don't realize about. So I'd like to start off doing a little exercise to get everybody involved. I'd like you guys to start off and just tell me your name, and let's talk about what your favorite sweet was growing up and what your favorite sweet is now, and then how that affects you. So how does it affect you, your body, emotions, your energy level? So I'm going to go ahead and start off for the call. And as you all know, this is Natalie. And my favorite sweet growing up was red and brown licorice that my mom would mail me summer camp every year. And when I got older, my favorite sweet became chocolate, any kind of good chocolate, even Hershey's chocolate, but especially expensive good chocolate. And what I found in terms of my relationship with sugar was that when I get too much sugar, I start to just feel sick. I get a little bit hyper. It just doesn't feel good in my body. So that's my relationship with sugar. So, Meredith, would you like to start off and share with the group what your favorite sweet is and how it feels in your body?
Sure. My favorite sweet growing up was actually anything chocolate. I remember going down to the corner store and with my allowance money and buying candy bars. And I think that I still have a chocolate craving, although I tend to love, instead of going out and getting candy bars, I tend to indulge in desserts. So like apple pies and cakes and things like that. And it definitely it has a filling feeling for me. And I don't really get hyper or anything like that, but I can feel that I get a crash from it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you definitely notice that crash.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So who else would like to share with us?
Eileen, I'll share. Well, growing up, my favorite was, well, two things. One was Howard Johnson's ice cream cake roll and and malted milk balls. But as an adult, I became lactose intolerant. So now it's just malted milk balls and red licorice. And if I don't have sugar, I feel horrible. So it's actually the opposite. Sugar makes me feel good, which is why I can't get off of it, because it has a positive effect.
Okay. So when you don't have it, you crave it more?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. And who would like to go next? If you go to the can I ask whoever's talking on their other phone or cell phone if they could just please mute the call with star 6, because we're hearing the background on that call. Thanks. Okay.
It sounds like a television in the background. It might be a TV.
Okay. Yeah. Don't know. Somebody's got something going on. So, okay. Anybody else want to share? Can I pick on Magda?
all right. My name is Magda. My favorite sweet growing up, oh, my God, I loved everything. I wanted it all. I wanted all the candy. But I used to actually really like those Little Debbie snacks, like the fudge rounds and the caramel crunch, and there was something else. But those were my favorites. Swiss rolls. And now it's just a combination of pretty much anything chewy And desserts, definitely. Yeah, I think I just like all sweets. And as for my relationship with sugar, I'd say it's probably a combination of there are times when it makes me feel really bad, and there are times when it actually, I guess it really doesn't ever really make me feel that good, but sometimes it does. So.
Okay, so sometimes it makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, as we've seen, everybody has their own relationship with sugar. So for Magda, sometimes it makes her feel bad. For Eileen, she craves it. I think it sort of gives you energy. For Meredith, I think, you know, you said it gives you an energy high, but then you crash. So we can see that, you know, sugar in our diet has lots of different effects on all of us. And I just want to share with you a little bit about my story and my relationship with sugar, because I am a sugar addict, and I admit that. I eat very healthy, but that doesn't mean I don't crave sugar like everybody else. I love sweets, but I've learned to control it, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that during the call. But for me, probably around 9 or 10 years ago, I did not realize how much sugar I was getting in my diet. And I was getting chronic yeast infections, and I would go to the doctor, and they would put me on medicines, and nothing would take it away. And I started exploring and seeing what was going on, and I realized how much sugar was in my diet. So I was having oatmeal in the morning, but I was having the sweetened sugar oatmeal packets. Or I was having a banana nut muffin, which was loaded in sugar. And then I was having some sugar at lunch, maybe in my deli meats. And then, of course, I wanted my chocolate in the afternoon. So I was having sugar throughout my whole day and not realizing how much I was consuming. So that first awareness made me realize that I had to change my relationship with sugar. And that's how I began my journey. So I want to just share with you that I completely understand how all of you feel and how it affects your body. And let me tell you, you can change your relationship with sugar. So I want to start off by telling everyone that my intention for you this evening is to permanently change your relationship with sugar. And what that will take is for you to be here 100% and with the intention to permanently change your relationship with sugar. So I'd like you to listen and take part fully as if your life depends upon it, because I truly believe it does, because your life turns out completely differently when you're eating well and you understand food, because what we eat changes everything. And I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with the expression, you know, you are what you eat. And I truly do believe that. Because what happens is we start off every day and we eat, our food goes into our stomach, and then as it gets digested, it gets absorbed into our blood, and then our blood is what creates our cells and our tissues and our organs and even our thoughts. So when we're eating meat or broccoli, we think differently, and we feel completely differently when we eat different foods, and when we drink coffee or alcohol, or when we eat sugar. So you feel, and your mind might be a little foggy or it might be clear, and you can notice these differences if you pay attention to what you're eating. So here's a chance for you to get a handle on what you eat and drink. And I'm not talking about willpower or discipline, but really understanding what causes those crazy, uncontrollable cravings, and we can reduce them naturally. So here's the good news. Sugar isn't the problem. It's the solution in the short term. So I want to take a look at why we go for sugar. So very often what happens is we stay up late, we're up till 2 or 3 in the morning, or we don't get enough sleep because we're stressed about our job, or we have a lot of things on our mind. And then we wake up in the morning and we're really tired. So what do? We go for that cup of coffee with sugar added, or the Coke, even the Diet Coke, it has artificial sugars in it. And we go for the donut or the muffin or anything with sugar to give us energy. And then what happens is we get a temporary high or temporary fix, and then we crash. And then we start craving it again because we crash, so we want that sugar and that artificial energy, that caffeine again. So it just becomes a vicious cycle. So let's talk a little bit about, in addition to not having enough sleep, what are the other things that cause this imbalance and craving for sugar? So are most people familiar with the term yin-yang?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great. So I want to talk to you about yin-yang in terms of food. So just like in terms of the Chinese concept of yin-yang, we can also relate it to food. So food can be very yang, so things like meat, salt, all of that is yang. And then the opposite of that would be yin. So foods that are like greens, sugar, alcohol are yin. So oftentimes people are using or eating food that are too yang or too yin. And what happens is when you have food that's too yin or too yang, you crave the opposite because our body wants to come into homeostasis. It wants to come into balance. And to do that, it'll crave opposite foods. So let me give you a good example. Let's say you go to a restaurant or even just a bar. And what happens is you go to the bar, and what's out on the top of the bar are salty foods. It could be peanuts, but they're heavily salted, or popcorn. And what does that cause you to do? It causes you to crave just the opposite, sweets or sugar. So you get a sweet drink or alcohol, a glass of wine. And then it's just a vicious cycle. So it's the same thing with what they serve in the restaurants. They tend to very heavily salt the food, because it will cause you to crave other foods and you will order more and it's a higher check. So the next time you guys go to a restaurant or a bar, think about it and see what's out there. And you'll see that it's the concept of yin and yang with food. And it's just attracting or wanting the opposite food. So oftentimes, you know, we also use caffeine, and that's a non-nutritional form of energy, and that will cause us to crave opposite food. So in addition to the concept of yin and yang, a lot of times what causes us to crave sugar is protein. So it can be a lack of protein or too much protein. It could be insufficient water. It could be just low energy because we're just having a low energy day, so we start to crave sugar. And it could also be that we just want to be comforted. So when I work with my clients, what I ask them to do, and I'm asking you guys, and these are your tips, is to think about first, before you go and you have that sugar, to think about, okay, let's just take a deep breath, because maybe we're just, you know, we're tired and we're not getting enough energy, enough oxygen, so we take a deep breath. And then to have a glass or two of water, to think about it. Have you had any water today? Because 99% of the time when you're craving sugar, you're dehydrated or you're hungry. But mostly, let's talk about dehydration. You've had no water. And then the body, the sugar craving will mask itself. Instead of having water, it masks itself as sugar craving. So if you will stop and have a glass of water or two and then just wait. Wait 10 or 15 minutes and see, do I still want that sugar, that sweet? Now, maybe you've had a lot of water that day and you're still craving that sweet. So then what I ask my clients to do is to think about it. What are you really craving? Are you really craving that candy bar, that Reese's peanut butter cup, that huge piece of chocolate cake? Or is it something else that you're really craving? So let's put the food aside, because let's assume you've had the water and you've had sufficient food, protein, vegetables, fruits throughout the day. And maybe what you're really craving is something I call primary food. So let me explain that concept to everyone. We have what I call secondary food, which is the actual food and beverages we eat every day. But then we have what we call primary food. And primary food is what feeds your soul. It could be your career, your job, your relationships, your spirituality, your exercise, whatever feeds your soul and what your passion is. And so often when we are craving sugar, we're really craving primary food. We're really craving something else. And you have to think about, am I getting the nourishment from my life that I need? So what I ask my clients to do, and I'd like to ask you guys to do this as something when the call ends and you can just take some time to do this for yourself, is to create what I call a nourishment menu. And a nourishment menu is different for every single person. So for me, a nourishment menu, and it's something I write out on a piece of paper, and I put it up on my refrigerator because, well, one, we all look at our refrigerator every day, and two, you know, when we have that craving so often, especially like for ice cream, you see that nourishment menu on your refrigerator and it makes you stop and makes you think about what am I really craving and needing before you grab that ice cream. So let me talk about what's on my nourishment menu, and then maybe we can all just go around and share or think about what we want to put on our nourishment menu. So for me, when I'm craving sugar or I'm low energy and tired, I will do several things. I might go to the gym and take a yoga class because that really fulfills me and gives me the energy. Another thing I might do is to go for a walk. Like if it's a beautiful day and I'm in New York City, I go for a walk by the Hudson River. And then probably the third thing I might do is to just pick up the phone and call a friend or call one of my sisters, because what I'm really craving most of the time is just the attention and the love that I'm not feeling that day. And, you know, what happens is I can go have that ice cream and I can go have that candy bar, and it's going to fulfill me for 20 or 30 minutes. It's going to give me some energy, or it's going to make me feel satiated or okay. And then what's going to happen is half an hour to an hour later, I'm still going to feel upset, tired, lacking energy, or whatever it is that really caused my craving is still going to be there. So I'd like to now open it up and ask everybody if they'd like to just share one thing that they could put on their nourishment list that fulfills you and gives you and feeds your soul. So, can anybody want to start off?
All right, this is Vin. I'm sorry I joined in a little bit late, but I usually like melons. They mm-hmm. kind of help take away the cravings that I get.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you for sharing. So
sorry.
Go ahead.
This is Meredith. I think the trick for me is to find foods that still make me satisfied, but yet they're not, like, I think it's a boredom factor.
Mm-hmm.
So when I want to eat sweet things, I should have things on hand that are healthier, that perhaps like baby carrot or raisins or something like that.
Okay. Great. Eileen, you want to share with us?
Well, do you mean by the nourishment menu, what, like the things that you, like you mentioned, yoga, rather than actual foods, or are you talking about actual foods?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I'm glad that Vin volunteered and he talked about melon and Meredith also shared about food, because I was thinking primarily primary food, so career, job, movies, whatever you love that you enjoy that feeds your soul. But it is really important, too, and you could put on your nourishment list the healthy foods and things that you can eat. And, you know, that's one of the things that I do when I work with my clients in the session, is to sit down and help them come up with, I give you a healthy a list of healthy foods and snacks that you can go to and try, so that the next time you're craving the candy bar, the ice cream, the soda, or whatever it is, that you have your healthy snack list and that you keep the healthy snacks in your drawer at work and in your refrigerator, in your cupboard at home, so that they're there and you can go to them. So, you know, for everyone, it can be slightly different. And I think it's good to put on that nourishment list. You could put the healthy foods as a reminder in addition to the other things, be it yoga or a dance class or walking your dog. So it's a reminder to you, hey, you know what, I don't have to have that brownie or that ice cream to satisfy myself. I can have something naturally sweet, and that's going to give you the sugar that your body is craving. Because for thousands of years, before people developed Reese's peanut butter cups and all the candy that we have nowadays, human beings craved sweet foods, but they got it from natural whole foods. You know, our ancestors, when they gathered berries and other things like that, and carrots that are naturally sweet, they got the natural sweet foods, and it satiated them. So I think that's a great thing to be able to add to your list. Yeah. So what would you put on your list then?
Well, I think exercise is dangerous, so I
don't.
So I'm okay. A sedentary. I mean, I love watching TV, and I love going to the theater.
Okay.
Like, you know, the cultural things. But they're also a trigger for sitting and eating. You know, it's like I'll go to a movie or I'll go to a watch TV, and then I'm just sitting there eating popcorn with M&Ms in them. So I've made my yin and yang while I'm doing my primary food thing. So
right. Well, you know, that's something you get into the habit when you work on that, of bringing your healthy foods and your healthy snacks with you to the movie. So you're filling, you know, your interest and your passion of seeing the movie, and you have your healthy snacks with you instead of getting the M&Ms or the popcorn with tons of butter on it and such.
Yeah.
So part of it is learning what other things you can have that fulfill you. And in terms of exercise, you know, that's also something that I work with clients, because I do believe that exercise is important, and it's finding what works for you. You know, what works for me in doing yoga is different than everyone else. Like, I know Magda, she's a client of mine, and she loves to swim. And I can tell you, she gets the biggest smile on her face when she talks about swimming. So
I knew you were going to bring it up.
Well, I think it's a great thing, because you found what fulfills you and what satisfies you. And so for you, when you're craving sweets or something, the option might be to go to the pool and swim some laps, or just swim for fun, or, you know, float on your back. So I think, you know, for everyone, you can find what you enjoy out there, and it just has to explore different things. And that's something I do with clients. We talk about, you know, trying a dance class, going for a walk, you know, going to a pet adoption place and walking a dog. You know, it could be tons of different things. It's going to be different for everyone.
Natalie?
Yeah.
This is Trish. I agree with you about the gym class, you know, whatever it is that you do at the gym class.
Uh-huh.
I like to dance. Sometimes you can't get to it at the moment, but I think anything physical does increase your endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
And more than that, you're putting yourself in a place that's you can't eat lots of times. You know,
right.
Getting your mind off whatever it is that's bothering you.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's a great point. Thank you for sharing that with everyone, because, as I said before, you know, that's the primary food, and that's really looking at what am I really craving. Because, yes, there are times, like I said, I started off by telling you all that I'm a sugar addict, and I was a sugar addict, and I still at times crave chocolate. But I know that most of the time when I'm craving chocolate, I'm not really craving chocolate. As somebody said, I'm bored, or I'm just upset about something that happened during the day, and I can have that chocolate, but it's only going to temporarily satisfy what I'm really craving. So thank you, Trish, for sharing that.
Sure.
So at this point, I'd like to ask everyone if they'd like to share something that you learned, something that was helpful for you from today's class. Okay, nobody learned anything today?
Well, you mentioned primary foods. It doesn't necessarily have to mean it's actually something you put in your mouth to eat. So it can actually be an activity to help, you know, fight that crave for the sugar, right?
Yes.
So one thing I've gained out of this so far.
Great. I mean, I'd love for you guys, whether it's tonight or tomorrow, you know, to take that with you and to do a nourishment list for yourself and put it on your bathroom mirror, your refrigerator, your desk at work as a reminder of other things that you can have rather than the sweets and the sugar. So, yeah.
And I guess what you were saying, the triggers, those primary foods that we don't really think about. I mean, we might think we're bored or we're upset or something like that, but we're not really consciously thinking that's what's making me want to eat all the time, which is doing.
Yes, absolutely.
But it's also things that you can't control. You can't control your job necessarily, or how your relationships are going to go. I mean, those are all things that are out of your control.
Well, they're out of your control to some degree, but when I've worked with clients, we talk about those things, because so many times people eat out of emotional response and stress. And no, you can't solve it all the time, but if you're in a miserable job that you hate, you can work towards changing careers and jobs to finding something that you love and that you're passionate about. And, you know, if you're having issues in relationships, you can work on that as well. But it's the acknowledgement and recognizing why you're eating and what's the emotional hold on you. And by working with somebody, you're able sometimes to see, well, you know, I don't really want that ice cream or that brownie. I'm just frustrated and upset with my work. And how can I change that? And I can help give you tools or give you recommendations on people or things to talk to help work on that. Because, you know, a lot of times we just do emotionally eat, and it's the underlying thing. So I do believe that you can have some control, or you can change those issues and those variables in your life to make them better. But we all have bad days, and that's okay. And that's why you have healthy alternatives. So when you're having a bad day, there are things you can eat and grab rather than the brownies, the cookies, the chocolate. Yeah. So I'd like to, at this point, just tell everyone briefly a little bit about my work and what I do. I am a holistic health counselor, and I work with people who want to lose weight and also have more energy. And having more energy allows you to have more time with your family, to do activities that you find fun, and just to feel better overall. So when I work with clients, we meet twice a month for an hour, and I give you email support out in between our sessions, and I give you recommendations every time we meet, two or three recommendations, so that there are things that you can put into practice and not overwhelm you. And really, the biggest benefit of working with someone is to get the support and encouragement that you need and the accountability, but not with judgment. And I'm different than working with, say, Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers, because I really tailor my programs to the individual, because what one person eats or how their metabolism functions can be completely different than another person. And so sometimes you need to just sit down and work with somebody to understand and look at what you eat and how you function and what your sleep is like. And it's not a cookie cutter model. It's an individual and helping you achieve and reach your health goals. So as some of you know, I have a free monthly newsletter. So if anybody is interested in signing up for that, you can go to my website to do that. It's NatalieWellness.com. It's www.nataliewellness.com. And at this point, I'd like to just open up the call to any questions that anybody has about the material that we've talked about tonight or anything else related to sugar.
What are your views on, say, dark chocolate to kind of help satisfy the craving for sugar?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about like dark chocolate, not like the semi, you know, like the sweeter types, like in M&Ms, but like more authentic dark chocolate.
Sure. Well, as I started off saying earlier in the call, that I was a sugar addict, and my favorite sweet as an adult really is chocolate, and I do prefer the dark chocolate. You know, dark chocolate it's high in antioxidants, and for some people, you know, it doesn't have milk in it. The milk chocolate has, which irritates some people's stomachs and they can't digest it. So I actually think, you know, good dark chocolate in moderation is okay. You know, it's when you're having too much of it all the time that it becomes a crutch and it becomes a constant craving and addiction. But I think that you should have, if you're going to have the dark chocolate, to have the best dark chocolate you can have. And I recommend organic, because most of the chocolate that we get in the stores is processed, and then it removes the vitamins and nutrients that are in the natural cacao, the cacao bean that the chocolate's made from. And so organic, natural chocolate tends to have all of those nutrients and vitamins that are processed out. So I actually think dark chocolate is a good thing to have once in a while, just not all the time.
Good to know.
What are some of the other, I mean, I know fruits and vegetables, but what are there any other, you know, alternative foods that are good for you that we haven't thought of?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize, and I just kind of go back to, I mean, as we mentioned, you know, fruits are natural sugar. So let me just explain that, the difference between the natural and refined sugars. So when you have a piece of fruit, it's natural sugar. So it doesn't shoot your blood sugar up. So it doesn't give you that super high that refined sugar does. So your body processes it on a steady basis. So it doesn't give you that extreme high and low, and your body can process it in a normal way. When you have the refined sugar, it shoots your blood sugar up so fast, and that's why you get that high, and then you crash and it comes down. So that's why fruit is a really great alternative choice when you're craving something sweet. But let me talk a little bit about sweet vegetables, because most people don't realize it. Maybe some people realize carrots is naturally sweet because you can taste it when you bite into it. But there are other things like onions that people don't realize. If you've ever cooked down an onion and caramelized an onion, it gets very sweet. So onions are naturally sweet foods. And then there are other things like root vegetables or sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes are a great choice for having something when you want something a little bit sweet. Because they're naturally sweet, they taste good, and it will satisfy and satiate your craving for sugar.
They're pretty filling, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Much better choice than a plain white potato. And then, you know, of course, there are things like beets. I mean, most refined sugar comes from sugar cane, which is, you know, it grows just a long sugar cane. But then there's also beet sugar. So if you cut up and had the actual whole beet, beets are very good for you. They're naturally sweet, and they cleanse the liver. So there are lots of vegetables that you could incorporate into your diet and get some more of the sugar that your body might be craving. Yeah.
I have a question. You were talking about sugar. What about things like equal?
Okay. Well, my...
Like, say, one or half of one in your cup of coffee?
Right. Well, my philosophy about equal and NutraSweet and all of that is I don't believe in artificial sweeteners. And equal and NutraSweet, aspartame, those are all
right.
Artificial sweeteners. And I'll say two things about that. The first thing is that while they haven't concluded all the studies on human impact from eating the artificial sweeteners, when they've done testing in laboratories for rats and other animals, it has shown that it's caused cancer in laboratory animals. So that is the primary reason why I stay away from it and I don't touch it. But on a more basic level, what most people don't understand is the body really has a hard time has a very hard time digesting artificial sweeteners. It doesn't know what to do with it. And that's why, I don't know if people remember, but when I think it was aspartame, when that first came out and it was a lot of foods and people were trying it and it was making them sick and their stomach aches, and it was really bothering them. And a lot of that is because the body doesn't know how to break down these artificial synthetic sweeteners. So you're making it much harder for your body to function. And the energy that it would go to give you, you know, to do other things, it's now trying to digest this chemical artificial sweetener. So, you know, there are lots of other natural things out there. You know, a couple of things are like honey, maple syrup. And, you know, if you'd like to talk another time, I can get into more detail with you about some of the other natural sweeteners that are out there that I recommend to my clients to try, you know, as a way to wean yourself off of sugar or to have a little bit of a natural sugar. So I think, you know, for me and for my clients, I personally would rather have a little bit of honey in your tea or coffee than NutraSweet or aspartame. The amount of calories you're going to get from a little bit of honey is not so bad compared to the synthetic chemicals that you put into your body. So thank you. That was a great question. Thank you for asking it. So, okay. Well, I'd like to thank everybody for participating in the call. And as a thank you to everyone, I'd like to offer you a free consultation with me. So if anybody is interested in taking me up on that offer, please feel free to go ahead and email me through my website, or you can stay on the call when everybody drops off, and we can schedule a time to do that. So thank you, everyone, for participating, and
thank
I hope this
so
has
much.
Been helpful to you.
Thank you.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.